Welcome to the Traffic Masters Show. Each week, Traffic Masters explores the lifeblood of your business, generating traffic, turning visitors into leads, and conversion strategies. Mastering traffic and conversion allows you to grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Traffic Masters here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your co-host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsuniversity.com, calling in live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got another fantastic show lined up for you guys today. We have my co-host, the Associate Dean of Directions University, Jack Humphrey, joining us. Hello, Jack.
Hello. It's a little chilly up here in Indiana.
I wish I had chili. No, it's like 95 or 96 and really hot and humid.
Oh, now it's my turn to brag. You bragged all winter about how nice it was in Florida, so now it's revenge time.
There you go. Enjoy it while it lasts. A couple months of that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to Go ahead.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have Matt Basic. I can't believe we have you today, Matt. That's awesome. How are you doing?
Really good. How are you doing, man?
All right. I'm going to give you a little brief introduction so people, the three people left in the world that might not know you, can get caught up, and then we can get started.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Matt's been marketing online since 1999. Nice effort. I beat you by a year. Good job. Good showing. He put up his first opt-in page in 2001. He beat me there. Has mailed up to 4.1 million emails a day for over a year. Certainly beat me there. Split tests every day, buys solo ads every day, too. He co-runs the List Building Club on Facebook with over 13,000 members. His lists are growing by up to 10,978 subscribers a day. That's a hefty list for somebody to build in a year. That's awesome. He just recently had the most affiliates ever signed up for a JV giveaway launch, 2,656 affiliates. Wow. And today he's going to share what's working for him now. And, man, we have a lot to talk about. We got an email guy on here, Gina. We have lots of questions, I am sure.
Well, thanks for having me
on. Absolutely. I wish I could have been at your event last week, Matt.
Hey, well, you know what?
Boy, my dog picked the wrong time to get sick.
Things happen for a reason. Never know why. But
absolutely.
That's good. I'm excited to be here, and you guys just throw whatever dart you want to throw at me, and I'll be glad to try if I can catch it.
Well, let's start with the most recent thing. Tell us a little bit about the event that you just had. What was it all about, and
yeah.
How'd it go?
No, it actually went absolutely amazing. The main focus of the event was all on traffic because, you know, traffic is very important. Without it, you know, really nothing happens. So the whole focus was on traffic. We had people talking about YouTube ads getting 6 cents views on YouTube, video ads, people talking about Google Hangouts, which is actually interesting how they're ranking now even differently than they used to for getting the top of search engines in a matter of seconds. It was crazy. They were doing demonstrations of how they're doing it, some new thing with Google. Tons of neat stuff like that. And then one thing that I was actually most proud of, which nobody knew was happening, I did a contest there for my Profit Coalition members, and they basically fought it out to become Marketer of the Year for the group. And it was a battle. It was actually cool. So they were just sharing their success since we started working together, and the winner ended up, I don't know where he was at, like 2,000% increase in his revenue and profit since he started working with me. So I was really excited. I didn't even know those results, but they all shared, and we had some fun. So it was a really big inspiration for a lot of people in the room to see that the possibility is there. Like, you can start, and with less than a year, really double, triple, even quadruple your business. So it was fun.
Nice. Well, one of the I know that we could go in a million different directions, but you know, when people find out who you are, what you do, I'm sure lots and lots of marketers like to ask a few questions about email and how you're thinking about that as a traffic source, as an ongoing engagement builder, lists, all that kind of stuff. I mean, everything's changed so much and so many times since we started doing this thing. I mean, email used to be pretty darn reliable in a way that's kind of almost mythological proportions now when we talk about how we used to mail and the kind of delivery rates we used to get. I don't think a lot of marketers even believe us. I don't think think that
You got started earlier, you know, a year earlier than me. I mean, yeah, back then, I mean, God, we'd send out an email and, you know, we didn't have to, like, even the difference between now and then is it's very unique because you got to be, you know, like back then we could send out an email and it would last for a week, you know. You didn't have to send another one. I mean, you would have sales flooding in for weeks. It just kept on happening from one send. Now, you know, you've got to, the attention span has changed in a sense of, and that's why people are mailing a lot more frequent than they ever have because it's trying to get back to the top of the mind. You know, you're really forgotten after, you know, 6-8 hours these days, which is interesting. Before, you were never forgotten, you know, forgotten after a week. You know, I mean, that's kind of, it's actually realistic. It was true back then, but, you know, after a couple of days, I mean, you weren't really forgotten. And now it's, you know, it's one of those things. So it's really different. The environment's changed. It's more, you know, there's more people getting in people's inboxes or getting, you know, taking people's attention away, especially from email. So it is a different game, but it's fun. And there's still a lot of money.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, I think that the you know, the constant periodic outcries of the death of email are absolutely insane. They come out every once in a while. I mean, people need to get attention, and that's one way to get, do a sensational title of a blog post about the death of something. I mean, gosh, we really went nuts with that in the 2010, right around 2010, we were declaring the death of everything. And getting great results with it, you know, getting people to fight over it, and there's nothing better than to have a good old fight on your Facebook thread or your blog or somewhere, because then everybody wants to pile on, and it's all on your stuff. So that, you know, that was the beginning of how we were trying to strategize how to get and maintain attention over a period of any time, let alone, you know, a long time, like a week or something. And it's also turned on us in campaigns. I mean, the consistent campaign, the Frank Kurd four-day launch method, that where you're trying to maintain attention over the span of a week with really, really good content and all that kind of stuff, opt-ins, everything, and just keep people around, I sense that people are making severe alterations to that style of a launch, and because then everybody started doing it. And as soon as everybody starts doing something, it gets harder and harder to do. You have to be more skillful at adjusting and noticing those trends, and hopefully ahead of time instead of after the fact. Has that been your experience lately?
Yeah, and here it's an interesting thing, because you and I both know from the years is, you know, once things get, I hate to use the word bastardized, or, you know, but get used a lot inside the marketplace, then what occurs a lot of times is there's a numbness to it, you know. People don't take it, you know, it doesn't, the reaction isn't as good as it used to be. Now I say that because, but we're, you know, a lot of us are, some of us that are listening, you might be in the internet marketing world, and I want to be clear, it's the most amazing thing is a lot of things that, you know, the numbness occurs really quick in the internet marketing community, but outside of that community, a lot of the things that have always worked over the years, you know, still are as effective or even better effective. And that's why people do pay attention to the internet marketing crowd. We're usually the disruptors of the market. We go in there, we figure out something, you know, and we might get shot by our fellow marketers fast, but then all of a sudden the market starts taking it over and then starts doing it. And then once it dies out, the crazy thing in the internet marketing space, the most fascinating thing, what I'm seeing with many of my clients, the old school, the things that we look as old school even a couple of years ago are still crushing it in other markets. So nobody, you know, even if there's marketers, it's kind of like when you go to school actually, I just got back from my daughter's school. And, you know, thinking about in high school, I remember going to school thinking, oh, I just bought this shirt. Nobody else has it. And then you walk in, you're like, what the heck? Everybody's wearing the same shirt. I thought it would be the only one. You know, we all shop at the same dang place. You know, but
yeah.
the reason I bring that up is because once you're in the market, once you start listening to, like, things like this and getting around people on the Internet, you know, that are doing more on the cutting edge of marketing, it might seem like you hear it a lot, so therefore it's, oh, everybody's doing it, which is true maybe in, you know, a small microcosm of the market, which is Internet marketing. But in the outside world, if people are doing things in other niches, nobody knows it. You know, you could do things that you could crush it in any other area.
Well, a tip to all the listeners who are mostly not in the Internet marketing world, don't let the jaded nature of us Internet marketers affect your decision as to what you'll do in your market. Because there's no bigger downer than to walk into a room of old Internet marketers and who, like you said, are pretty much just walk around numb. You know, oh, that was so 5 minutes ago. I think we pretty much made up that little saying. That was 5 minutes ago. I think we're the ones who started that. Because we really get tired of stuff in 5 minutes. We really literally, oh, gosh, I'm not even going to try this method, and I'm not going to try the next 10 methods that come out that nobody's even actually used yet because they're already old.
Yeah.
So don't take that back to your market and go, this is probably not going to work. You test. You go out there and give some things a shot, because that is absolutely true. There are people out there that are killing it just walking away, just stepping one step away from the Internet marketing space. Go back to your market and test all of this stuff, because it's very likely that very few people, if any, have seen it.
Right. And it's so much more effective.
Yeah. Hey, Jan, I think Jan's on with us. She's got a question for you.
All right.
Or are you muted, Jan? She was ready to ask you a question.
Okay,
there she
I was. So there I am. Hey, Matt. Thanks so much for joining us.
No problem.
You know, I was laughing really loud in this last conversation because it is so true. I deal with a lot of offline businesses. I mean, these guys still aren't even using email.
Oh yeah.
You know, or landing pages. You know, they're busy in their businesses, and they're trying. And I think it is really interesting. You know, I mean, I remember Ira Rosen saying this, you know, for Mojo Marketing. He said, marketing hasn't changed.
No.
But the tools change. And it's really interesting because it kind of bridges this. So I was really wondering, have you seen that in terms of the tools that have really hung in there and continued to work, and what do you see changing?
Well, that's a great question. I think, you know, I think one of the big things that we're starting, I mean, for example, autoresponders, broadcasting systems, I mean, specifically when we're talking about email, you know, I mean, we've always going to have hosting, we're always going to have domains, you know, we're always going to have autoresponder systems, but the way that we use them, you know, are a little bit different. Like, you know, now, you know, there was phases in the market where, you know, people were going after very, you know, they would say anything in the subject lines to get people's attention. And, you know, of course, the FTC cuts, you know, we got government intervention. You know, that's the big changes are going to happen. And the one thing that's going to kill anything is always going to be government. And from my personal perspective, is any government intervention kills anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, I mean, you know, I think when it all comes down to it, you know, in any of the changes, if it's all about the core person or the core business values of that, I mean, if you come in from a place of doing things, you know, in your integrity, because everybody's integrity is a different, you know, and they come from a different source, but, you know, where they can sleep good at night knowing that they're doing the best that they could possibly do and doing things right, and if they feel in their gut and their intuition if whatever they're doing is a little bit wrong, and, you know, at night, like, man, I wish I didn't do that, you know, then the fact is, you know, those things are going to die off. But and all of a sudden, you'll start noticing that, you know, the governments will not like those things. But, you know, I think it's really, you know, that's a big thing. If you actually noticed a lot of stuff over the years, it's really been, you know, I mean, heck, we could remember. I mean, some of us could probably remember way back when we were figuring out how to spam the search engines and putting these doorway pages in there and doing all these things, getting the top of the search engines. You know, it was too good to be true, and it was, and it got kicked out by Google. I mean, the same thing with email marketing. You know, especially back in the day when we started. You know, we were just basically grabbing emails off the internet, harvesting them, putting them into autoresponders, and sending them out. You know, like we didn't know that was wrong, but we kind of felt it was, but there was no thing out there. And then the Can't Spam Act came out, you know. So, and then it's like, okay, what you're doing is wrong. Okay, great. All right, so let's figure out a new way. There comes the opt-in page, you know. You know, so now we're going to get people's permission, you know, to mail them and stuff like that. So, but, you know, even when it, you know, there was nothing out there in the world saying that, you know, harvesting was wrong back then, you know, this is years ago in 99-ish or even 2000, you know, there was nothing out there that really talked about it being wrong. But deep down, you know, inside yourself, it's like, man, there's something wrong with this. You know, this can't be right, but it's working, you know. And so, but the big thing is if you're listening to your gut and listening to your intuition when you're playing the game of marketing, any marketing, whether it's email or anything, I mean, in the end, you'll win, you know, because you're actually know, you know, something feels right and something feels wrong.
You know, I think it might be a toss-up between the government stuff, canned spam things, all that kind of stuff, the FTC going nuts on smaller and smaller companies now. They used to just pick on the big guys as an example and try to get the rest of the world in line, in the fear that they might come after them. Well, now they are in groups. They'll get you, you know, like Kern. They got Kern in a group. And they found him because they found all of these other people who then got tied back to him. And so now really nobody's actually safe when they're doing the wrong thing. And some people don't even know when they're doing the wrong thing. So the government stuff is a big deal. But I wonder, the web is so fast now. The attention deficit thing is, there's so much information. There's so many people now wanting to get the attention of every market that's worth being in. And all the people that are in those markets get just hammered with ads all kinds of places, retargeting everything else. And the old school marketer feels like they're pulling off a country road onto a superhighway, six-lane, you know, just everybody's going 80 miles an hour. And it's really, I don't know. I don't know what's worse, if it's the government stuff or just having to speed up. We all used to just, in Albuquerque or in New Mexico, I was told stories by people who lived there all their lives that the ranchers and the good old boys had a really hard time when people from New York and L.A. started moving to places like Albuquerque because they'd drive like they did in New York and L.A. And these guys would drive around with a pistol in the glove box and a six-pack of beer on the seat next to them, and they'd go pretty darn slow because it was kind of like, you know, Aunt B and Opie time.
Right.
And they couldn't handle it, and there was a real serious shock right there. I mean, a culture shock. The people in L.A. were driving their Range Rovers and cutting off the old guys in trucks, and, you know, I don't want to compare us to a bunch of old guys in trucks driving around drunk, but I guess I just did. but the web is faster now. I think that's just as much of a – it can be as much of a detriment and put us in predicaments that – we're like, God, do we really have to play this whole game that's really super fast and always, like, mail three times a day now and to different segments that haven't opened and haven't opened and haven't opened? And, you know, do we have to do all of that stuff? Because it's like, man, you start to really get nostalgic about the old days. How do you think people like us are handling that? Because I know we have a lot of listeners who have been around a while, too. And I think the newer people can learn a lot from the change because we always go back to our old stuff and go, wait a minute, we can make this new again. A whole generation, an internet generation, hasn't even seen this or been exposed to this yet. And I watch people dig up old stuff and apply it to the new web, but they got to put it on a super highway that's going 80 miles an hour, which kind of freaks a lot of marketers out to have to be caught in this environment and keep people's attention. So that was a long way of saying, what do you think about that?
Well, I think there's a couple things that came to me, and it's actually interesting because they're both conflicting. But, I mean, just like even what you're talking about with the old man out there, you know, because, you know, you have that piece of us, and then you have the other thing of the newer, higher, faster, you know, those guys. you know, because the one thing you want to think, one thing I think about is, you know, the first word that popped in my head was adapt. I mean, we've got to adapt to mm-hmm. current market conditions. We've got to adapt. I mean, if we don't adapt, we're going to die. In some senses. However, we also come back to the whole thing of a lot of the older guys, hey, you know, we help create this world. You know, we can make our own rules. You know, we can play it the game we want to play, and we can figure out how to adapt it so that we can make it work in our favor. In a sense of, you know, some of the older things. We don't, you know, a lot of people, you know, it's like just because somebody else is doing it doesn't mean we have to do it. And, but, you know, so it's kind of like I said, they're two conflicting things. But
yeah.
It's true. It's like,
well, I like that. I totally understand. I totally get it. I know why those two things came up, and they're both legitimate. You know, I mean, we created this lawn. We can tell people to get off our lawn. You know, sit on the porch with our shotguns and say, get out of here, Sonny. I brought you into this world. But, yeah, I mean, you have to adapt, and everybody's got to learn that lesson right now. If you just started, it's going to be different tomorrow. It's going to be different next week, and that's just the way things are.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's not like we had this glory period from 98, 99 until, like, 2008 or so. There were massive changes that took place every single year on the Internet. We never really – I mean – We hark back to, you know, a doorway pages, all that stuff we used to do, the spammy stuff, but those were all very short-lived. They were like campaigns.
Yeah.
And then something happened, and Google would change things, and we would have to adapt. So we've always had to adapt. But it's just fun every once in a while. Just, you know, the Internet has certainly grown. You know, billions more people have gotten on it since, you know, it started, and all the services and everything. I mean, we went from having to put our addresses on our web pages so people could mail us checks to just having, like,
yeah.
a party when we were able to take credit cards. But then it was really hard for
people. We had to manually insert them. There was no freaking – we had to manually put the things in. Like, people don't realize, like,
yeah.
there was no such thing as Internet gateways. You had to, like, literally grab their information, save it there, and then go plug the crap in by hand.
And the security was just horrible.
Oh,
I can't believe the world didn't blow up during that period, which I think hastened the advent of making it a lot more secure and, you know, bringing in the gateways and everything. But, you know, I think just adaptation, I think your second one is probably the best one for today in terms of what do you do about all of this stuff. And so my thing is, everything's moving so fast. We just, during the time that we've been talking, a tactic has come up and gone. And somebody just broke in, got a great idea, broke into a market, and is currently right now getting a bunch of subscribers off of a method that a lot of people don't know about, or he just invented, or she just invented. And by the time we get off this call, that might be the only time it could ever run.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's a little extreme, but, you know, how do you get fired up about what you're doing and have the ability to stick to it? Because things move so fast, you've gotten burned. We've all gotten burned with, I've got a plan, I'm going to do this, it's going to take me a couple of months to get this in. Well, a couple of months, we don't have that luxury anymore. We have to go. And sometimes opportunity gets flicks on the screen and flicks right back off the screen. So how do you manage that? You know, do you go deep into certain things and just stick with your basics? And maybe we should just go over what your
yeah.
basics are right now in your toolbox.
That's good, because you just said, I mean, what you're saying, I was going to say, you know, the one of the things that I've always done to allow me to build, you know, big, solid, I mean, I've built, you know, my best year on doing stuff on the Internet, I mean, it was all three companies together, but, you know, we did over $20 million in a year. And, you know, everybody always used to ask me, Matt, how did you do it? And I said, well, two things. One, you know, one is I just got really good at the fundamentals. And two is I came from a place of unconditional love. Like, those two things were, like, the secret to it all. But, you know, if we could boil it down. But getting to that is the fundamental stuff. I mean, the key is, you know, one, you know, we've got to, I mean, leads or, you know, building a list to me is like oxygen to the business. We don't have those, you know, we don't have people coming in. I mean, the growth and scalability sometimes is a little, you know, it's harder. You know, we can always build, you know, we're building solid relationships, but in order for us to truly grow and to get bigger is by getting, you know, more and more, you know, subscribers on board and more, you know, different people on board to make things happen from there. But so building a list is, you know, the fundamental thing. I mean, we've got to have a website, we've got to build a list, and we've got to have a, you know, some kind of, mechanism to get them to go to a place. I always like to call it to roam. So, you know, everything that I do, I send my people to end place like Rome. So, and all roads lead to Rome. So, you know, right now I have my, you know, and I have a couple different companies, but let's just talk about the information business. You know, in the information business, it's called, you know, it's called InfoSoft 360. And InfoSoft 360, I send everybody to Rome. Rome is my profit coalition. Profit coalition, you know, everything I do lends to that. So all leads that come in, all products that come in, everything leads to that. It's where I want people to go. That's the end result of there. So all roads lead to that. And so if we know the core fundamentals and the fundamentals and the basics of marketing, or fundamentals and basics of business, you know, we're going to win in the long run, because we're going to be able to withstand the new gizmos that come out, you know, and then they die and everything else. I mean, but the core basics are the things that are going to keep us winning. Because even if we think about it, in like box, you know, I was a Gold Glove boxer at one time. It was actually pretty good. I was 33rd in the nation. And, you know, I remember in all my fights, whenever I started losing the fight, my coach would always come to me, Matt, get back to the fundamentals, get back to the basics. Same thing in all football and all sports. And that's the same thing everybody's got to remember when it comes to, you know, business, or when it comes to, you know, marketing. You know, like when things aren't working, just go back to fundamentals, go back to the basics. You know, we know, you know, that's going to make us win in the end. And that'll make us outlast. That's why you and I are still here. That's why some of the guys have come and gone. You know, some of the guys, some of the people in the marketplace that I've seen, you know, they come in, they're a big hot shot for, you know, 2 seconds. They had their 2 seconds of fame. It's interesting, you know, thinking about this, because I was actually talking to my kids about this the other day in a different way. But it was like, you know, you ever notice that you have these one-hit wonders? And we were talking about Taylor Swift. My daughters love Taylor Swift. And we were talking, I was like, you know, I thought when she came out she was going to be one of those one-hit wonders, but she's not. She's been around for quite some time now. She's done extremely well. You know, she's going to be, you know, not saying she's going to turn into like the Beatles, but she's going to be like the Madonna, like been around forever. And they're in the marketing place, we see that. We see the one-hit wonders. They come in, they had their hit, and the thing is, but they had their hit on some gimmicky crap. Everybody might know them because of this one gimmicky thing, but they're never able to grasp anything because they never got the idea. They never built their foundation on a solid rock of solid fundamentals, solid foundation in marketing, and solid foundation in business. And until people start realizing, yeah, I could start chasing after these golden turds that are getting thrown all over the internet, or these, you know, all these like unicorns or whatever. I mean, people try to ride on these unicorns, and they try to chase the golden turd, you know, and they crack it open, and it smells like crap, you know, like, and they wonder why, you know, techniques and, you know, things either die because they were meant to be. And many of the times that people usually talk about them, and that's what a lot of people don't realize, is a lot of times the smart people that when they start talking about a gimmick or a golden turd, you know, like, or whatever you want to call them, these things, but whenever they start talking about it, usually when they know, they see the end, they want to make their money out of it before it happens, you know, before it dies off, or, you know, a lot of times that's what happens. So it's, you know, or they know they're about to kill themselves, but they're either done or they're tired of it, and they know that, like, hey, look, this is just, you know, ridiculous. So they tell the world, and then all of a sudden, you know, it'll die off later. But the people that are winning are the ones that really focus on the, you know, that have a true solid foundation fundamentals. And, of course, once in a while you do play those things. You get in, you get out. You know when to hold them, you know when to fold them, you know. But you go into chasing after some of these really, you know, crazy new techniques that people are using. You go into that knowing that, hey, look, I'm only going to be doing this for a short period of time, until I can exploit this for as much as I possibly can exploit this one technique or this one strategy for, because I know it's going to die, but knowing it at the beginning, and as soon as I see that moment that it's going to die, I'm not going to hold on to it. I'm not going to be emotionally attached to it. I'm going to just let it go and move on and go find, you know, keep on doing, in the meantime, in the background, doing all the fundamental stuff, and then maybe I'll go find another one to chase and to use, because I know it's going to work for a very short period of time, but I'm going to exploit that as long as I can possibly exploit it, and just, you know, but let go when it's time to go, when it's done.
You know what we leverages love about you guys with all that energy to go chasing around things? We love that you have all of that energy to go chasing around and doing things, because one of the things I hope that maybe we were able to build up here in the first half of this discussion was a little bit of tension in the room, so to speak, about oh God, are we? Do we have to all have Matt's level of energy and chutzpah and going after things and all that? And I know that you do that stuff, but you also understand leverage very, very well, or you wouldn't still be here, right? So, but what we like to do is look at people who there is a giant front line to marketing, and there are hustlers. There are young people that don't have their kids yet, they don't have families yet, they got all the energy in the world like we used to, and we'd work, you know, 24/7. We wouldn't blink an eye, pulling all nighters and pulling off giant launches, basically bringing every single customer in almost by hand, each one individually. More so than now, when we use a lot more leverage and joint ventures are just very common, and giant affiliate programs and everything very much more common. But that front line that's hustling out there, that's always trying new things, testing new things, and they're in their 2 seconds of fame stage. If you're thinking about leverage, and or what I call cowbirding, because a cowbird is one that lays its eggs in little birds' nests, and those little tiny birds have to struggle to raise this giant baby that they can't really even recognize as their own, while the cowbird's out, you know, making a living, doesn't have to raise the kids and try to kill itself too. So we call it cowbirding. We go and just work with other people, add value to their lives. One thing about the 2 seconds of fame guys, or anybody who's on top of the game right now, who's doing the biggest launch in whatever industry you're in, they're very tired. And they may look like it's all collected and cool and everything on the outside, but guaranteed it's chaos on the back end. It's utter freaking chaos. Everything's falling apart. They're trying to plug holes, leaks, everything else, take care of people. Some things are breaking. People are, you know, some customers are pissed. There's a lot of things, a lot of opportunity, if you know what you're doing, to go and slip into somebody's situation where all of your targeted traffic is being collected by them. And there's also what we do, and I'll let you speak to this because I think I know that you've done stuff like this before. I'd love to hear a story about that. Is you come in and swoop in and help somebody in that situation, and most of these guys who come into a market and they're really big, flash in the pan, there's no way in hell that they have a back end.
Yeah.
They haven't had time to develop it. They came from nowhere, and they got this one little $27 idea, and that's it. And so if you have a back end there, and it's appropriate for their market, then you're in like Flynn. They just brought in all these new customers, and right after the launch, when it dies down a little bit, all the affiliate commissions are paid out, and the guy's sitting there with not nearly as much money as he thought he was going to have after everything is said and done. And he's got this huge buyer's list with nothing to sell them, except that everybody's coming in and trying to do affiliate products with them, saying, well, would you just JV with me, which is the wrong way to go for anybody in that situation. And you can tell them that when you get there and say, don't listen to all these people. They know you have a buyer's list now. Listen to me. I'm here to take care of you for the long haul. We can keep these buyers buying and keep you making money without the next thing that happens with everybody else is you're going to blow this list up. They're going to hate you. You're going to start affiliate marketing to them like crazy because everybody wants a piece. Everybody wants to be your buddy. And it's really flattering that, you know, these big guys that would never talk to you before talk to you, and you say yes to everything, and it's going to burn your list to death, right to the ground. So with all of that, again, there's no question there, Matt. But
yeah.
I know you know these stories, and you probably have a good
I've
one
seen
or
them.
Two
I've
to tell about how you've done this before.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've experienced, you know, I've been through that, you know, on both sides.
yeah.
You know, I mean, and, you know, you're talking from experience and same as me, and it's not, you know, it's one thing is knowing that, you know, what I find, for me it's a little bit different. I'll tell you, some of my best companies I've ever built over the years, because I give companies about 3 years, but it's all from a leverage perspective. You know, a lot of times, and actually, one of my partners I sold the business back to, so I like coming in. A lot of times somebody will come in, do something like that. I actually wait longer. I have a lot more patience. I wait a little bit until I know that they're pretty much broke again. and then
yeah.
I jump into the business and kind of take it over. And, you know, so because I know they've got the talent and everything else, and they know they smelled it, they tasted the possible, you know,
they want
the
back
success,
in quick.
And
they
want
back in really bad, too. Yeah.
Yeah, so I like to come in, but when I swoop in and take over the company. I do it a little bit differently from that perspective. I've done it multiple different times, and I've taken companies, because they've already, they already had the success. They already know the energy they got to put into it. I want them to use all that energy again, but this time with my direction, so that we can actually build it on a solid foundation. Most of the people don't have the systems, don't even have true systems in place to do it at the beginning, and that's why they're plugging all those dang holes. So what I do is I always tell them, look, I've got a model. Let's go. It's just going to be plug and play. We're going to plug your business into my business model, and we're going to run from there. And typically, I could take a lot of these guys where what they were doing in their, doing in that 1 month in their launch, what they thought was the most money they ever made, and I've got them up to doing that every single month. But we're doing it differently, where we're, instead of it being a launch, we're kind of making it more evergreen and, building systems internally inside the company so we can actually. We're actually selling it on a consistent basis outside of just being a time sale. A lot of times people are using on their launches, like, oh, it's only available for 7, 12, 15 days or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, we're doing it. I'm actually evergreening it out a little bit and doing it and just building, true stuff behind it. So we've got a whole model behind that. I've done it multiple times. I've done it in real estate. I've done it in the tax niche. I've done it in the stock niche. I've done it in different niches like that where I see – I see that, come in, swoop in, take it over, plug and play, build the business and go, and take them to, where they have, $100,000, a couple $100,000 launch and building $1 million companies off it.
How are you finding these guys in other niches? It's easy in the big one we're in, the market, but how are you finding guys that are in a situation where you can come in and apply that sort of leverage where it's just the perfect opportunity for you to do so?
They seem like they fall in my lap. I do belong to a bunch of different people in the niche and different things, but I have a lot of my students are in, they're not in the internet marketing world. They're in a different world. So I might hear what's going on, hearsay, wherever I run in. It's kind of weird, but it's kind of like me buying houses. The same thing happens. For some reason, I always get my houses at a really good deal. Our last house, the house I'm in right now, I'm living in this nice country club. I never really told anybody this, but I picked it up for a steal. I'm living in, this is one of the richest neighborhoods in all of wherever, but I picked up a steal. The guy that owned it before, his business went bankrupt, he bought the land and was building, and in the process of building, his business went bankrupt. The builder lost the contract. I walked in, and the guy bought it 6 years before me. The market was going crazy. I walked in and just said, hey, look, I'll assume the contract. Take it for what the guy bought it for so you don't put it on the market and you don't have to deal with all the other crap, stuff like that. And the guy was like, sure. I said, I'll just assume it. So I assumed it and got it for a steal, walked in with a couple $100,000 of equity. Same thing in my old house. It's like, and same thing with my condo. I don't know how it happened. It's like they just happened. In my old house, same thing. I told my wife it's crazy. The guy and wife were in a marriage battle. That he was trying to lower the price despite her. She wanted to get the hell out of it. She didn't care what he sold it for. I picked that one up for a good deal. The house before that, I did the same thing. So, I don't know. Like, in the same thing with these, one of the guys that I worked with actually was interesting. They did their launch with two different it was a partner in them doing it. Their partner ended up them got in a fight in the midst of the whole launch process. I kind of saw that it was happening, and I kind of knew it was happening. I waited months after it was all over. After they broke up, it became a nasty business divorce for them, and then I just walked in there, swooped in, and took it over. And, in the end, I built it to a multi-million-dollar company, and the guy, they're very grateful. And then I just, walked out of it after – sold it out, got out of it. So I played a bigger play, and then the deal was after 2 or 3 years I'll be very involved, and after that I'm going to get out, and we had an exit strategy. So every time I come in with, here's how I'm going to take it over, here's how I'm going to build it, and then, I usually have a 2-3 year plan, and then after that I can only play with my toys for about 3 years. Businesses to me are toys. So, and we used to do that same thing, and maybe I learned, I don't know, but the same thing we built back in 2006, I believe it was in 2006. I had one of the fastest growing host reviews had us as the fastest growing host company in the world. We beat GoDaddy, and we did it through acquisitions. I was acquiring a company. Most people don't know this. This is back when I had my plane, and I would fly around, and I would actually what I would do is I actually ran this thing because I was doing the real estate stuff too. The real estate business, they would buy, sell houses. I took the idea from that company. I said, you know what, we're running these things on the internet called We Buy Houses. I said, you know, why don't I just do We Buy Hosting Companies? And so I put up a site, and we were buying hosting companies. I mean, ridiculous. People were, I wouldn't go after deals that weren't good, any deal that made sense. And I was just acquiring companies. I mean, left and right, we were acquiring companies, hosting companies doing 200, you know, let's say they're doing $200,000 a year. I'd walk in, I'd make sure they were using the same exact the questions we asked them were like, hey, what billing system are you using? And then we had different things for them. What kind of servers are you using? How many servers do you have? You know, like we were asking all these things. And if they met ours, they were using Unix or Linux servers. If they were using the certain billing company that we were using, if it pretty much was a match to my hosting company, I would acquire them. I would go to them and I would say, okay, can you please give me the login? You could change the login after I look at it. Can you please give me a login into the billing system? Let me look at it. As soon as I would look at that while I'm on the phone with them, I'd say, okay, well, I know, because I know the software, I'd say, okay, here's what you're doing right now. Here's what I'd like to offer you. So whatever they were doing a year, I would offer them, you know, half of that for just a one-time fee. So, I mean, I'd pick up those things like crazy, and plus I'd buy the rebills, and we would migrate them over, and as long as, you know, it was a perfect fit, we could migrate them in, I mean, just literally plug and play, put them inside the company. We were acquiring companies, one or two hosting companies a week. But the reason I bring that up is because everybody was in a unique situation. You know, they were most of the people that would buy they were usually techies that all of a sudden they gave great service to all their people, and because they gave such a great service to all their people, people loved them. More people told them, came by referrals. They outgrew themselves. They didn't know how to handle the accounting. They didn't know how to handle, you know, they were missing some of them, their servers were going down because they weren't paying the server bill, because they didn't know how to, all they know is tech stuff. They don't know the accounting side.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was, and then their wives are pissed off because they're not paying, it's like because when they first started, they gave everybody their cell phone, and now everybody calls 24 hours, you know, they're sleeping, and their wife hates them, wants to divorce them. You know, it's like everybody's in these special situations, and those, you know, it's a great opportunity for both people. And that's what I've found with a lot of stuff I've done, is just being able to identify, hey, this is a great opportunity for me to walk in. They have all the core, it's there. I mean, they've, especially with those, it's like the rebills are already built in. I mean, already know that this company's doing $200,000 a month. I could pick it up for $100,000. I mean, within one half a year, well, with attrition, it didn't always happen. It was about 8 months. Within 8 months, I was, you know, back in, I was back. You know, I had my money back. So I was able to do that all day long. And it just made sense. So, but the same thing, getting back to what you're talking about, is having those core, core fundamentals to be able to look at things, having core solid marketing and noticing that and identifying, like, okay, well, look, you're only chasing after all these, you know, crazy things, but you don't have the fundamentals. If we can just add the fundamentals to what you're doing, it could be really good.
Well, I was just getting ready, and you said it right there at the end, just noticing. I think that's a really big takeaway from everything that you just talked about. It's you first have to be aware that something is possible to even be able to see it in front of your face. But, you know, a lot of people are just like, well, I don't understand what you're saying. And the thing is, you need to really try hard right now to understand what Matt's talking about, because it really is the essence of discovering opportunity. And a lot of people just float around with opportunity all over the place, and they're unable to notice it because they don't know it's even possible in the first place. To go and, you know, do what you just did or what you just described when you were buying hosting companies. A lot of people floated right through that period. I did. I never heard of that. I didn't know that story. I didn't know that's what you did. And that
I never told
freaking
anybody.
Brilliant.
There was no way I was telling anybody because I was dominating.
Yeah.
I mean, I was talking to Bob
and
Parsons.
So,
when Bob Parsons, I think he's not longer runs his company. I think he sold it off or whatever, but if I'm not mistaken. But,
yeah, he's a billionaire now. He's living on his island somewhere.
Yeah, but just, I mean, I was talking to Bob. I mean, Bob's like, how the hell are you doing this? You know, I mean, so, but I wasn't telling anybody in the market what I was doing because, see, that's the thing, a lot, especially, and most people don't realize, I jokingly say, and it's true, you know, InfoSoft 360, I run a bigger company. My InfoSoft 360 is just a division of one of my, well, actually, it's a you know, one of my companies inside there. I have a couple other different companies. They actually just sold off Mobile Magnets, which was, we actually were building apps and stuff like that. Our first app, we were in the top 10 of iTunes in that company, but I sold that off November of last year. But the only reason I bring it up, because I usually have three toys I'm playing with at a time, but everybody knows me in the InfoSoft 360 information and software. And the funny thing is, I told my wife, I said, out of all our companies, this is a company that's never going to leave. This company is always going to be around because my ego needs it. And plus, it's not really a business. It's just a high-paid hobby. But, you know, it does fund a lot of this stuff that we're doing. So, you know, and that's actually how I look at the internet marketing space personally. It's just a high-paid hobby, and it funds all my other my real business ventures. You know, but
awesome.
But just to, and that's something for people that once you get in this world to realize that there's a bigger world out there. I mean, I was in Ted Nicklaus's mastermind. I was in Dan Kennedy's and Ted's for a while, and each of them had their different thing. One was a marketing focus. One was more of a Ted's was very unique, and it was absolutely fascinating being in his group because he gave us a different perspective on things, and it wasn't from a marketing perspective. You know, he selected one person from all over in every country. Actually, there was two from the United States, me and Matt Fury. And we both were, you know, part of this group. And, you know, the one thing is he taught us things about life. And he taught us things about – he said something to us, I think it was the most powerful thing. He said, you know, your business is the, you know, the highest risk investment you should ever make. And he said, you know, instead of going out and investing in all these crazy things, like all these crazy investments – you know, do things that you understand and do. So I got it. Actually, because of him, I started investing in trees. I actually own a bunch of land. I have trees. I have my own tree farm because I get it. I understand trees. And plus, I don't have to go, you know, once a year I go look at my
is
trees.
Is there anything you don't do? That's going to be my little meme. I'm going to put a picture of you all over the web. Is there anything he can't do?
No. But you know what? And actually, that's where I was going to go. And he just reminded me of what I wanted to say. After you were saying something, you were talking about, you know, identifying opportunity and all that other stuff and sharing it with people because some people – so for those of you that do have the capability, even at this moment, to identify opportunity, one of the most powerful things I will tell anybody to do, and it's, you know, it's all over. Everybody says it, but I want you to hear it in a different way, is you got to have faith. You know, and when people say walk out in faith, I know, like, people use it in the biblical or the, you know, religious terms. I'm not talking about that. But have faith in yourself and say, you know what, I see a big opportunity here. I'm going to do this. But I don't just go do it. I mean, I just jump in faith because I know, you know, believing in myself enough to say, you know what, I could turn this damn thing around. I can, you know, yeah, they're doing this. They don't even see it. And, you know, when I was a, kid, I used to collect rookie cards. And I always look at it. You know, the way I play the game of life and business now is the way I played the game of trading cards when I was a kid. And it's the same thing. I learned early on, when it comes, if anybody knows anything about baseball cards, you'll get what I'm saying. But we had this book called The Beckett. And inside Beckett, it would tell us, like, here's the sets of all the cards for the year. And there was all different these companies. But in all the sets, you know, you could find that there was one card in that set that was worth more than the whole set itself. A lot of times it was a rookie card. And so when I started recognizing that when I was 12, 13 years old, that's all I did. I bought rookie cards, and I just went and traded for rookie cards. I didn't want any other card, and all I wanted is rookie cards. And now I have, like, closets full of rookie cards, you know, but because that is the number one biggest thing from there. Because and the good thing is that I was able to identify, hey, look, this rookie is going to become great later on, and that rookie card is going to be the most valuable card in this set. You know, it's going to be more worth more than the set itself, so why collect the set? Why don't I just get the one card that's going to be worth the most? And that's the same thing that I play in business is like, hey, look, you know, these guys are rookies. They're rookie cards. That's all they are to me. And I know one day they're going to grow into become great baseball players, and their cards are going to be worth a lot of money. Well, instead of being cards, it's their business. And that's kind of how I look at it, you know. So that's kind of how that's how I play.
Nice. Well, I think that anybody who may have some preconceived notion of what this might have turned into, this discussion today, they saw your name, they know you from one of the trillion things that you're into, and they would have thought, well, he's probably going to talk about this or that. It never would have occurred to me that we would have ended up here. And I'm really happy that we did because I see a lot of people out there doing things and they're doing their heart's desire. They're like, I'm building this business. I got to do this business. And they're at some stage of the beginning, the building, and cash flow is tight, and all the things in a growing business, a bootstrap business, DIY business, are happening, and they happen to everybody all the time. Some people get through it faster and better, but everybody's got to go through it. And to get people to think outside their current situation, like what we've just been talking to people a lot about.
Sorry, my computer was going crazy.
Cut it out, man. That's probably just sold a tree or something.
No, I do have trees. Some trees worth $125 each.
So we were talking to people in the bachelor's community recently about joint ventures and about all the knowledge that we pump into their heads and snapping them out of the trance that knowledge is only supposed to be or can only be used for their own business that they're building right now, their passion, their love, their thing that they're an expert at and everything else. And you kind of got, and we kind of figuratively snap our fingers to get them out of the trance and go, look, the knowledge that you're getting here, that in whatever education that you're getting, it doesn't matter if you get it at DU or from Matt or whoever, but the knowledge that you're getting should not just be thought of as something you can only apply to whatever your project is right now. You can apply it to other people's businesses. You can go and see opportunities that other people aren't seeing. In fact, if you really are doing it right, you're really paying more attention to honing your skills at spotting opportunity than anything else. And a lot of people can't handle that at first. Like, I've been working my butt off on this business. I'm getting ready to have a launch, or I want to have a launch in 6 months when something's ready or whatever. It's just tight right now. And I'm like, well, go do some joint ventures. Go hook some people up. Go spot opportunities and get people together who don't know that each other exists and make a bunch of money while you don't have to suffer. And with all the knowledge that a lot of marketers have in their heads from all the webinars they've been to, all the courses they've taken, the conferences they've gone to, the learning, the coaching, consulting that they've gotten, and to just sit there and flounder in the current business, that maybe everything's fine, it just needs more time. But you don't have time. You need to make some more cash flow happen or something like that. To sit there and just keep working and plugging away at that business without spotting other opportunities that could float you to that next stage is a sin against business and nature, I say.
And I think that, too, I mean, I'll say this for a lot of people since it's kind of gone in a little different direction, but I think it really helped a lot of people is one thing that goes through my mind, and I even have it as a reminder on in front of my desk, is I ask myself these couple questions, you know, when is now a good time to do it, you know? A lot of times, you know, I have a big problem because as much as I'm not good at grammar and spelling, and people know that, especially if anything you've ever saw that I put out there. But I will say, somebody just beat me up on Facebook about it. I was like, whatever, I don't care. But the reason I bring that up is because I don't have to get it right. I just get it going. And that's the big thing is a lot of people, you know, the reason why these things aren't coming to fruition, and I just ran into this with a client. Oh, my God, we just launched something the other day. I helped her with it. But, I mean, it's been 2 years. I finally just said, you know what, I'm done. I told her, I said, you know, I'm sick and tired of your perfectionism. We're just going to go because, you know what, I would have had this done in 3 days. It took you 2 years. You know, it's like, you know, so,
wow.
I mean, and we went hard. I was like, look, the next 5 days I'm going to push you to limits that you've never seen before, and we're just going to go because I'm tired of this. Like, I need this off my plate. You know, it's like, I really do. We're going. And I don't care what the end result was. In the end, you're going to have the best experience you ever had. You're going to learn more than you ever had because through doing is when you really, you know, when I think the true knowledge occurs. But so, I mean, and she will say, like, even now, I mean, she's done great from it. But so the one thing is, you know, you don't have to get it right. You just got to get going. But really what I was saying is getting back to is when is now a good time to do it? And a lot of us use our perfectionism gets in the way of making it happen. We just got to go. But so I have that little reminder on my desk. The other thing I have on my desk, too, is what am I doing right now to make money? You know, there's a third one, which I gave you guys earlier, in a sense, but, you know, what am I doing right now to make money? So something that I'm doing at that moment's got to be able to, you know, generate some cash at that moment, or it's going to produce cash within the near future. So, you know, every day I'm doing money activities. I'm doing things that are going to bring in, going to bring in cash to the company. But the other thing is, too, in each of my companies, for example, and I did mention that I was in the app business. And so, since I mentioned that,
I was thinking which business I talked to you guys about. But since I did that, when I was with that company, our mantra was, look, if it doesn't have to do with child-friendly apps that are based in Ireland, it has nothing to do with us. And that was our mantra of our company. Everything that we did was around family-friendly apps that all were about Ireland. We actually turned our goal was to turn Ireland into Disneyland through games and apps, and we actually started doing that. I mean, Leaping Leprechaun was a big one to hit. We had other hits out there. But getting back to even in my information business, same thing. You know, and I say this to people all the time, we're really crystal clear on what our realm is, and inside that is, my Profit Coalition. I tell people, like, if it has nothing to do with the Profit Coalition, it has nothing to do with me. It does nothing to do with this company. And it's because all roads lead to that, and if it's not a part of that one thing that we're focusing on that, in the end is going to, really build this into a big thing, then it has nothing to do with us. Same thing with the hosting company I talked about. Like, if they're not using, and that was our thing, if they're not using this program, this billing system, or they're not using these types of servers, and if they're not taking care of these types of clients, then we don't want them. Because we weren't dealing with proxy server people that are running hosting companies that deal with proxies. We weren't dealing with hosting companies mm-hmm. that dealt with email. We had a very crystal clear: here's who we want, here's who we're going after, here's who we're saying yes to, and here's who we're saying no to. And that having that clear distinction truly allowed us to take those companies from nothing to millions or even multi-millions of dollars.
Nice. Well, Gina, we talked an awful lot about leverage and all kinds of stuff today that had to have you perking up. Do you have any closing thoughts or questions for Matt? I know you must.
I just want to make sure that we have a place that people can find Matt. Matt, where's the best place that people can find you?
Oh, that's a great question. I try to hide now. No kidding. No. If anybody'd like to, I think the easiest thing is Facebook. If you go to Facebook, I think it's facebook.com/internetmarketinginsider. I believe that's it. It is it. But Internet Marketing Insider is my fan page for that. And these conversations, that's the perfect place for people to go. I don't want to send you somewhere else that. But if you're on Facebook, I'd tell you to go over there. Any more information about me is like about Matt Basak, and it's BACAK.com. Those would be the two greatest places for anybody to, for however you want to do it. But
awesome.
Got it.
And for those who are really just getting started in their business, where would you suggest that they start with all this stuff that you gave them today? What's their next best step?
Well, I think the number one most important thing with anybody starting their business is you got to get crystal clear. You got to have total clarity on what you truly want to do and follow your intuition, follow your gut, and know exactly what that is. I mean, because anything that I talked about, until you're truly solidly clear on exactly what you want to do and you're willing to. Where you're so clear, and actually I think all of us were at a conference and somebody said, if it's not a hell yeah, it's a hell no, or I think that's the wrong way I interpret it that way. They said it's not a heck yeah, it's a hell no, but I'll say if it's not a hell yes and whatever you're thinking about doing, I mean, get everything in your business or everything that you want to do, get it to a hell yes, like hell yes, I want to do this, hell yes, I want to do this. And once you get crystal clear and you know that that's what you want to do, then start applying the information from me and from anybody else that they haven't thought on this, on the talk show, they get. Because to me, if you don't have that clarity, then in a room or a place for people to go and a clear thing that you want to build, there's no reason to find out how to build it until you get that clarity.
Love it. Well, thank you so much, Matt. If there's anything we can ever do for you at DU or here on Traffic Masters, just let us know.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Matt, so much for coming in today. Great talk, and so unexpected. I can't wait to go brag about it all over the place and say, we thought we were going to do this, but then a fight broke out about real big business stuff that we didn't even know we were going to talk about. It's awesome.
Awesome.
Thank you.
All right, no problem.
And we will be back next week, same time, same place, for another episode of Traffic Masters here on Blog Talk Radio. Again, thanks, Matt. And you can find more about Matt at about Matt Basak, that's BACAK, www.mattsbusinessshow.com. Have a great week, everybody.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Traffic Masters, from traffic to conversion to business success.